is Jared and the GM on ESPN. Oh, 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com.
Got you there.
I cannot handle Floyd Reese today, people. Go ahead and tell the people what you said then, maybe.
I just said I'm waiting for her to sing.
We've had Eric and Jesse, the new Eric Decker reality show. I guess it's the old one, and now they've re-upped it this year. We've had it on in the studio today because there's a marathon on E, and Floyd just goes, I'm still waiting for her to sing, which is true because supposedly she's a singer. We don't know that because
that's what I understand.
We haven't heard any singing, but supposedly she's a singer. Now, speaking of a guy whose wife is actually a real famous singer, I think we both can agree that Mike Fisher's wife would count as that, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, to Mike Fisher. So, it's so funny how quickly this, you know, off season has kind of sped up for the Predators because they played so long. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, hey, the season's over. Now there's the expansion draft. That's over. Now it's the draft. Okay, now that's over. Now it's the development camp. That's about to be over. Now it's free agency, and that's all happening in like the span of 3.5 weeks or 2.5 weeks or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And it's really gone by. We didn't know what Mike Fisher was going to do at the end of the Stanley Cup final, and David Poile was at the draft on Saturday talking with Willie Donick on it's part of our special coverage live from Chicago. And this is what he said about Mike Fisher as the July 1st free agency period starts.
I've got to talk to Mike Fisher in the next little while to see if he's going to be coming back, or you know, we might have to find a player to replace Mike Fisher. So that's where we are today, and we'll be back at it on Monday.
So there it was. At some point this week, David is either going to talk to Mike or has talked to Mike. For that, we don't know how that's gone on, but I mean, at what point does Mike Fisher need to tell David Poile what his plan is, and when does Mike need to come up with his plan? Because the Predators have to make decisions with or without Mike Fisher.
The ideal thing, of course, is to get it prior to free agency. That's what David's hoping. The scary part and the hard part is if he hasn't made the decision yet, which is quite possible. And I, to be honest, I don't know where David goes after that. You know, I don't know if there's somebody out there that is a good replacement that he'd be interested in. You know, if there's not, then it's probably a moot point. You're going to have to do something else. But if there's somebody out there that you do like, that you do have a shot at, and you're not quite sure what Mike is going to do, then I think it really gets hard.
See, I think the best case scenario for David right now is that Mike says, hey, I'm in. You know, I'm all in. I want to go win the cup. I'm coming back. Get me 1 year, $3 million, and I'm in. Worst case scenario is Mike tells him, David, I just don't know. You know, because if they had been eliminated in April, Mike probably would have had enough time by now
right.
to come to a conclusion. The truth is, they got eliminated 13 days ago or
yeah.
however many days ago. And it's not fair to Mike for us to sit here and say, okay, Mike, it's time to make up your mind. But the truth is, with free agency coming on July 1st, you need Mike to make up his mind.
But Mike could very easily still be vacationing and trying to work it out, you know, trying to get his body back together. And in my opinion, the longer he takes, the more likely it is he's coming back.
Why is that?
Just, I think you just get rested and, you know, you have these guys, he's been doing this for so long. He's got a routine that he goes by every year and he knows at a certain point in time, you know, a certain month, the routine starts. And I think once he gets into that routine, he'll be, you know, okay, I'm back. I'm going back. I'm going to give it another whirl. If he can get into that part of it, I think he's probably going to be okay. If he can't, you know, if you make him make a decision right now and he hasn't had the time, then, you know, it's going to be easier for him to say, well, I'm just going to retire.
Okay, now then you're a GM. So I'm Mike Fisher and you're David Poile. So you call me, and what's the way that you approach it with Mike? Because when David calls Mike, David's not going to know if Mike has made up his mind yet.
Right.
And so David calls Mike And I'm sure the agent is involved, but when it's as close as I would guess David and Mike are, it probably is a one-on-one conversation, David and Mike.
Yeah, I mean, to begin with, I think it would be David and Mike because Mike has to say yay or nay. I think after he says yay or nay, then you'll contact the agent and find out, you know, what it's going to cost.
So how do you approach it if you're David? How does the conversation go? Do you call and say, hey, Mike, you know, just wanted to check in? Obviously, we've got a move here on the thing. Wanted to know what you're thinking. Or do you call and are you more direct and you say, hey, Mike, are you in or out? Or how do you do this if you're the GM, knowing that there's a possibility that Mike has not made up his mind?
Yeah. Now, I'm really, really sure the fact that they have great respect for each other and admiration. And so, you know, I think you can be upfront without being harsh at all and you know, just let Mike know that, hey, Mike, you know what? It would really, really help if you can give me some kind of indication prior to the first. I mean, because we're getting ready to start free agency. And if I had, you know, even though we may not hold you to a final, if I had some kind of a direction, it will certainly help how I approach this. And of course, the worst case scenario is Mike says, you know what, David, I would love to give you an answer, but, you know, I've been thinking about this and I've been praying about it and I'm still, you know, 50. I'm right up in the air. And that's where it'll get hard.
If you're David, can you turn your back on Mike? I mean, can David be, and I don't know this, can David say to Mike, look, we got to know, or if not, we're moving on. And you can go to Toronto or Colorado or go wherever.
I wouldn't think he would do that. I mean, I think he's been too valuable and they're too close. And, you know, he deserves the respect of, okay, you know, I'll have to make do. And again, all of this is either helped or really made a lot harder by the fact that there may or may not be somebody out there you're interested in. If you're really interested in this guy and, you know, it's the right price and the right guy and the right system, and you may have to just go ahead and sign him. You know, I mean, that may be the answer too.
I think it's hysterical because I'm looking at this situation and I'm thinking the more it's gone on, the more I think Mike's probably going to come back. But what you don't want to have happen is Mike take his time, then you sign a guy, so now you're paying that guy to replace Mike, you're paying him $4 million, and then Mike comes to you and says he wants to come back, and then you've got to go to Mike and say, well, can you do $2 million? Because the $4 million we were going to give you, we gave to so-and-so, so we got $2 million, that's all we got to give you.
See, that's the other side of the coin. You know, if I'm Mike, I know if I say yes right now, I have the most leverage I'm going to have, which is now I'm going to negotiate as a top, you know, one of the top centers on the team. If I say I'm not sure and they go out and sign another guy who maybe is, let's just say he's equal, but he signs the other guy for $2 million, guess what? I'm not making my, what was he making before? Four?
Four, yeah.
I'm not making that four anymore.
How much are the coaches involved in on this? Because usually I think David probably handles most of the personnel stuff, and he is in charge of the coach. There is no 1A, 1B. I mean, David is in charge of the hockey operations top to bottom.
Right.
But because of the fact that Mike's the captain and Peter's the coach, and Mike and Peter have been together for, what, 4 years now or 3 years, how much of this is it going to be Peter talking to Mike too, saying, hey, this is what we want out of you. This is kind of why we want you.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is what we.
I mean, Peter could be the lead dog in it simply because they've been together so long and worked together so long. And once again, I haven't been in a meeting with them, but I have to believe they have tremendous respect and admiration for each other. And this is not a, you know, I'm afraid they're going to mess me over. You know, they're not going to blow me off. I mean, we're just trying to get direction here and get this thing done. And if there's any way you can help us, that'd be great. So, I mean, it's one of those things that the truth is, if they hesitate, they both could lose. I mean, you could hesitate and say, okay, I'm not going to sign, you know, this guy over here that I'm kind of excited about. And then Mike turn around and say, hey, you know, I've figured it out. I'm not going to, my career's over. Now you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. If you go out and sign somebody that you think is pretty good, you know, maybe not quite up to Mike, but close. But you'd rather have Mike, but you're scared, so now you sign him. And then Mike comes back and say, okay, I'm ready to play for my $4 million. And, you know, David says, hey, I only got $1 million left. And he says, okay, fine, then I'm just going to retire. You know, you've actually lost a little bit of talent in your squad that way. So, I mean, this is not easy. And, I mean, it could be very easy. You know, Mike just says, yeah, I'm going to play again. Oh, okay, then let's figure out a contract, get this thing done.
It's easy if Mike's made up his mind one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, because then you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sure they would be, if they had their druthers, I'm saying this, you know, they would rather have Mike just say, yeah, I'm going to come back. And, oh, okay, cool.
Here's $4 million. All right. So here's what we're doing. We're talking Mike Fisher this hour. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to get in on Mike Fisher. And then the question is, what if he hasn't made up his mind? Where do they go from there? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Everyone wants to win in this game, and no one probably more than me, but there's other things. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a game, and it's an important part of my life, but it's not everything, and there's other decisions and other people that are involved, and so we'll take into those account. Those, for me, it's, you know, faith, family, and then hockey, really, and that's, you know, but so we'll see where that fits in. But I love being part of this group.
That was Mike Fisher on Locker Cleanout Day. Now, obviously, that was a couple weeks ago, so maybe he's had some clarity and some time to think and all of those things. David Poile told Willie Donick over the weekend that he's going to talk to Mike this week. So either he's already talked to Mike, or he's going to talk to Mike, or, and I would guess this is probably not very likely, he could currently be in the process of talking to Mike. That I don't know about. But, you know, we went over, does Mike need to have the decision? What about if Mike hasn't made up his mind? I mean, where is the line in the sand for David Poile in which he effectively has to make decisions without Mike Fisher if Mike Fisher hasn't made up his mind? Because it's not fair to totally expect Mike Fisher to have his mind made up by now.
Yeah, in fact, it would be rushing, in my opinion. But this is the hard part about you know, the long seasons. I mean, when you make the playoffs and you go to the Stanley Cup and you do, oh, this is what happens. Everything in the off season is constricted. Everything has to happen faster. Decisions have to be made, you know, with one eye on the very next decision, which is right around the corner. So, I mean, it's certainly not easy. It's not ideal. And if, in fact, he has not made a decision yet, then it's going to get really, really hard. And the biggest part will be, is there somebody out there? You know, is there somebody not? We know there'll be somebody out there. But is there somebody out there that I like, that I'm willing to pay, that would be a good replacement, you know, et cetera, et cetera. If there's some superstar, some guy I really, really like, then, you know, maybe there's such a thing. He just says, okay, Mike, I got to go on. And, you know, we'll talk later. The hard one, again, is if there's somebody about the same level, you know, because whoever you sign that guy for is going to affect Mike and his contract. If, in fact, in the next day, Mike says, yeah, I'm back. I want to come back. I'm really excited. Okay, well, give me my $4 million contract. Whoa, that $4 million contract. No, it's key. It's gone.
And then what do you do then? Because you want to keep Mike because he's your captain.
All you can do is say, hey, I got this is what I got left.
Unless you trade off somebody else.
This is what I can afford. You know, oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of
If you signed somebody that you liked, would you trade off somebody else that you liked to clear space to keep Mike?
Oh, that's a possibility.
Because in a perfect world, let's say you sign somebody you like and you're kind of up against the cap and you don't want to spend $4 million on Mike because you've already paid another center, then somebody takes Colin Wilson from you, then you get that $4 million back and you give that right to Mike. That I'm okay with. I got no problem with that. But I do think it's almost unfair to Mike, but I feel like at some point Mike has got to – I think at some point Mike has got to – it's not fair to ask him to do it at this point because it just the season just ended.
Yeah.
But free agency's here.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around it. Free agency is here.
Everything's constricted.
Let's
go to your phones. For everybody.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. If you want to get on Mike Fisher, 615-737-1025. Adam is up next. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I do have a Mike Fisher comment, Jared, but I want to say that it is a breath of fresh air to get in the car today and hear you talking about Mike Fisher instead of the Ben Roethlisberger hero worship thing you did yesterday. So I'm very happy that you're talking about Predators. As far as Mike Fisher, I think his biggest selling point, and you disagreed with me a couple weeks ago just because I understand the season ended and he was winning a lot of face-off, things like that. But his biggest thing for the Predators, the selling point, was that he was the man with all the experience. And now I think you have a roster full of guys who are Stanley Cup finalists, and so I think you wouldn't miss him as much as you would have before the start of the playoffs. So while he has the smoking hot country music wife that comes along with that package, I think he's not irreplaceable, in my opinion, as far as that position, especially if you see the points he scored in the playoffs, and you know, we could have used a little more contribution, I think, as far as offense, especially in the finals there.
I think it's an interesting point you make. Do they need Mike's leadership now that they've got a lot of experience? I think it's a fair question to ask.
I don't.
Which is essentially what the caller asked.
Yeah. I mean, my impression is they do. I mean, you don't want to lose two guys that you know, have some kind of leadership. And the only reason I say that, really, is I look back at last season and how long it took us to adjust after that. I mean, that, to me, in my mind, I thought that would have been a two-week deal.
It took the half the season.
It was actually a 2-3-month deal. And if it's going to take that long again to adjust, then it is a big deal. If you want to get to a point where you're, you know, not the 16th seed.
The one question that I have in my mind is, who's the real leader in the room? And I'm not saying that Mike's not a leader by any means. He's obviously one of the top leaders. But who is the main alpha dog in that room? And generally speaking, you would think it is the captain. The only question here is it Pekka Rinne? Because if Pekka Rinne, let's say Shea Weber leaves, Pekka takes over as the main alpha guy. Even though Pekka can't wear the C and cannot be a captain, let's say that Pekka's the main alpha leader of the team, then losing Mike, if you're Peter and you know what your dressing room's like, losing Mike is not the end of the world because Pekka's your main leader guy that's taken over for Shea Weber. But if Mike is the main leader, and let's say Mike's leader one and Pekka's leader two, then you need Mike Fisher. Because I think you want to keep everybody. Because the other thing that Mike has, we talk about experience. When Ottawa came out the year after they went to the Cup and Mike lost, they were not good. And they got the coach fired. That Ottawa team did. And that's where having Mike's experience of, hey, guys, look, when I went to the Cup in Ottawa, it was not easy getting back the next season. And we got to do X, Y, Z to be ready and all that. That's something I think that could be considered pretty important in terms of
yeah, this. And again, I am trying to adjust to the captain's role in hockey, which is much more prominent than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lose a captain, you don't want to lose a captain, you know, the way you make it sound. And even though Pekka might be the leader in the locker room, And if he is, I'm sure he's a great leader. You're still going to need – somebody's got to wear that C. And if the C doesn't go on the right guy, then, you know, you could be creating a problem.
Let's go to Dre, who's up next on Mike Fisher. Thank you for calling. What's up, Dre?
Oh, nothing much. I was just listening to y'all guys talk about Mike Fisher. Well, my look on this whole thing is, you know, got to give him a time frame and God need to make up his mind. Okay, let's face it. I'm at my job, and if I get a job offer from my employer, and you think they're going to give me weeks and weeks to think about it?
Dre, I think it's... I think it's...
These guys ought to be thankful they got the job they got. Okay? Thank you.
I don't know how to follow that up. Yeah. My guess is Dre's job and Mike Fisher's job are a little different.
I would say they're different.
I would make
probably,
that assumption.
Probably Mike's job and most jobs are different.
Okay, so what do you make of Dre's take there, though, about the idea? You've been a GM about, you know, hey, he's had some time now. Time to figure it out, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, there would be guys that would probably push it like that. And I think, it, you know, again, it depends on who you're talking to. But my gut feeling, and this is just me, is because it is Mike. We were talking about treating guys differently a while ago. Mike's a guy you treat differently. That's just my gut feeling.
You know what I love about Mike? Is that unlike Eric Decker's wife, they don't feel the need to have cameras in their living room all the time that, you know, change it, that
oh,
seeps
I'm sure.
into the... I'm if sure they, people want to put cameras
yeah,
in their living room.
If they said, you know what, anybody want to come and film in my house? There would be no room for anybody but cameras.
I don't know Mike Fisher very well. I know him, but I don't know him very well. I'll say this about Mike Fisher. There's a 0% chance that he does a reality television show in his life.
And
0%.
I'm happy for him.
615-737-1025, the number 615-737-1025. We're right back to the phones next. You're listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5, the game.
They actually played very well in the playoffs, and they had some really impact on our team. So now, you know, sort of the, what should we do? Should we go outside the organization to try to replace a James Neal, or should we give that ice time maybe not directly to a Pontus Aubrey, but maybe Kevin Fiala moves up in the lineup from almost a third line position to a second line position? Maybe Frederick Gaudreau, who we may not have penciled in on our lineup, maybe he starts on the fourth line on our team next year. So I'm kind of weighing that against some of these possible trade opportunities, and also the third aspect would be on July 1st we start free agency. And as we know, everything's free and free. I sort of am sarcastic at that because usually you pay a lot for that.
That was David Boyle. And I think David kind of just set it all out there, all the avenues in which they can go about getting the roster ready for next season. And I hear them all. And I think a lot of it kind of depends on what Mike Fisher does and, you know, how much do they trust the young players. Let's go right to your phones because I promised that is what we would do. Mo is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Jared. Hey, GM. I'm actually calling to rant a little bit. I'm not a hockey fan. I feel like, Jared, you're just shoving this hockey down our throats. If you poll 75% of the people that listen to the station don't want to hear about hockey, it was a nice run for the Predators, and we understand they made it to the finals. But hockey season is over with. This is not a hockey town, except when they make a run into the playoffs.
I was gonna say, Mo, did you see any of the TV ratings or any of the games or the outside of the arena or the entire city or the national TV ratings or any of the evidence that proves otherwise that people actually do want to hear about these things, because that is why we are talking about them.
They probably switching over to all y'all competitors on the other station, because all you talk about is Predator this, Predator that.
They don't even talk about, come on, they're not switching over. If they want to hear about sports, they listen to us. I would say to call in, you know how I know you're not switching over to the competitor there, Mo? Because you waited for, what, 30 minutes to get that out? Called into the show, waited for like 30 minutes to get that out. Here's the truth, and we've been over this time and time again about our show. And that is that our show, unlike some other shows in this town, talk about sports. That's first. Don't talk all day about Twitter. You know, actually prepare to do the show before we do it. And our show is what our listeners care about. And it's the people of Nashville. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, if you wanted to call me on, what is today, June 28th? If you wanted to call on June 28th and say, hey, nobody is interested in it, that's not true. But you at least could have made the point. But after what happened last year, and really the year before that to add on to last year, you can't call and say that people don't want to hear about this now, because as soon as we start talking Predators, our phone lines load up every time. So the truth is the Predators buzz. And I was talking to Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy with Yahoo Sports. I was talking to him about this during the Stanley Cup final. The thing about hockey is it takes one Stanley Cup playoff run in which your entire city lives and dies with your team. in order to get them all in. And that's what's happened here, I think. I think you've got to this point where this entire city, I have so many people that come up to me over the last week that were coming up to me and have come up to me and are like, Jared, what are we going to do without James Neal? And I never would have gotten that reaction 4 or 5 years ago. Times have changed, people, and we're still going to talk about the Titans, the things that, Floyd, we've talked about this in meetings, and we've talked about this. This show is going to own the Titans and own the Predators. And we'll cover everything else, too. When there's a big story with UT or Vandy or the SEC or nationally, we'll cover it. But as far as the Titans and the Preds, nobody is going to own those two teams like we will and how we cover it, because that's what you guys want to talk about. If you guys didn't want to talk about any of this stuff, we would never talk about it. But the truth is today, and correct me if I'm wrong, Floyd, we talked about Eric Decker's reality television show and had loaded phone lines, and we've talked about Mike Fisher and we've had loaded phone lines. So the people want to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... But even you'll say that you've noticed in the 2 years you've been doing radio, 2+ years now, I mean, it's totally different now with the Predators than it was before, where the fans are and the people of this town that are not only interested in this team, but that want to talk about it, that want to hear about it, that now start to care about other teams and what they're doing. I mean, it's different than it was before.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I think that that people, and we get calls all the time, people will get on and talk about the fact that, you know, maybe I was a hockey fan when I lived in Buffalo. Maybe I've never been a hockey fan, and now they're hockey fans. And I think it's, you know, because of the season. But and of course, the Preds are their team, and they're following the Preds, you know, every move. But the truth is, the interest in the entire league and the sport has skyrocketed. So, you know, as you said, we're going to talk about what people want to talk about.
I mean, this is how much it's changed here in this town. I was reading an article yesterday. Victor, is it Edsel?
Edsel.
Victor Edsel is one of the guys that is in the development camp that they have right now. Mm. He was a Swedish prospect who literally came on a visit, could choose to go to the Predators or not, came on a visit for a Chicago playoff game, and at that game was like, I'm hooked. I'm in. I am all in. I'm hooked. This is what Victor Edsel said, quote, I had no idea what to expect when I came here, but it was crazy. Probably the best thing I've ever seen. Everything, the fans, the game, the presentation, it was a show around the game, too. I fell in love with it. He signed a 2-year entry-level contract with Nashville a couple weeks later. It's changed, folks. And you can get it, you can be like that caller right there and sit there and say, you know, hey, it's June 28th. No one wants to hear about hockey. And let me tell you what no one wants to hear about right now. Baseball. You want to talk some baseball, Floyd?
No, thank you.
What do you think about the National League?
Yeah, I don't even know.
How about the American League?
No follow.
What about the Cubs? I think they lost last night. How about that? This town has changed. This town loves that team. You know, it's... I looked at it. You want to know how I kind of looked at the way that the year has gone from how we build the show and how we do things with the show and all that kind of stuff? Is the fall was football season. You had a game every week. We talked about the games, fall football season. The spring was another football season. You know, with all of the different games and all the, you know, the St. Louis. And then all of a sudden we're talking about, okay, Anaheim is playing Edmonton tonight. Who needs to win that game? I watched double overtime of an Ottawa Senators game, and I liked it. What does that tell you? I mean, to me, that shows you how much. And I remember tweeting out, too, during that Eastern Conference Championship game, and I tweeted out and I said, this has to be the most watched non-Nashville Predators hockey game ever in this town, because everybody was watching that game that night. So I think the caller needs to kind of catch up with it a little bit and realize that this town is just, it's booming. It's getting to the point at the next level where people are just, they're so into it. And it's so good for our city. It is so good for this town, because when I moved back here, this is a true statement. When I moved back here, I was worried, because we talk about the Titans and nobody really cared. We talk about the Predators, people kind of cared. But, you know, it was, talk about Vandy, nobody cares. And now, People care about the Predators. People care about the Titans. They care about their teams. And it's good to have that here because it had been a struggle. And if we can just get Vandy to get to that level too, we'd all feel much better about it.
They got a big-time recruit a day or two ago.
Yeah, they also had kids take a pellet gun to a Target parking lot. Yeah. And,
we're trying to be positive.
You know. Daryl is up next here on the show. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a rant. I just 2 minutes a second ago heard what you said about the guy calling about old hockey, don't talk about hockey. Who cares about him? I tell you what, this city, this whole area, my in-laws, my family down in Dothan, Alabama, were rooting for the Predators. Birmingham, Alabama, rooting for the Predators. The fever's spreading. It's going to continue to spread. I'm a hockey horse today, all the game. I can tell you why the other sports aren't like hockey, because they do what the hockey does, players do something that other teams, other professional sports do. They make their players accessible to the fans. That's the difference between hockey and other sports. Hockey rules, tools came on the planet. Hockey players, you don't get any better than that. Woo!
So he's on the exact opposite side of the other caller there. I think that he's probably more right. I mean, people in the area care now about it. It's not like they didn't care before, but now people want to know. I mean, this free agency stuff, people want to know. We're 3-4 days away from it, of getting right into it. What kind of team are you going to have next year? And the big story next year is going to be, can the Nashville Predators get back to the Stanley Cup final? And in this case, can they win the cup? I mean, that's going to be kind of the big question the entire year. And that's a big deal, and it's a big deal in this town, and it's also possible for that to happen. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It's the biggest story of the day, and we have got to get to some of these Stephen A. Smith clips. We will do it. He came back from vacation. He was on vacation today, but because Phil Jackson left the Lakers, Stephen A. had to get back on TV, and we will play some of those clips next because it is just A-plus Stephen A. material. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Okay, so the big story today in America, which we have not touched on yet, is Phil Jackson is leaving the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he's been fired, which we talked last week. I believe Phil's just how poorly he managed the Knicks is actually going to reflect negatively on his legacy as one of the greatest coaches ever, even though it has nothing to do with coaching. I think there's at least a little something to that. But I cannot put into justice how I feel about Phil Jackson leaving the Knicks. So without a doubt, we have to bring the hardest working man in sports, Stephen A. Smith, into the mix, because Stephen A. was on vacation. And, you know, when Stephen A. takes vacation, you don't bother Stephen A. Except Stephen A. had to get on TV, and today he did on First Take, on his vacation, coming in to give his initial thoughts on Phil Jackson no longer being with the Knicks.
And damn it, it's about time. Long overdue. Should have been gone long before the draft. Dolan was a little bit late to the party, but ultimately he got it done, and thank the good Lord that it is over.
So that's Stephen A.'s initial take.
Short and sweet.
Comes in on vacation to give you that one. Then he brings up the fact that he is working on his vacation.
Hold on. You he turned never, down money? Ever, ever. No, I'm not turning down money. What I'm saying is, but I work for my money. Look, I'm on vacation, and I'm already doing more work than Phil Jackson did in 3 years. Don't get me started. The man don't want to work.
Now, remember that Stephen A. almost got sued last week for saying that Lamar Odom was on crack. Saying that on TV, and got a letter from Lamar Odom's attorney and said that in reference to, you know, a reason. And then when he was discussing the fact that he had said that Lamar Odom was on crack, he said, no, I wasn't doing that for Lamar. I was doing that to talk about Phil Jackson. And they're like, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of people out there that don't like Stephen A. I understand why. I think some of this stuff's funny, though. Like, I look at Stephen A. as entertainment. I don't look at him as, like,
knowledge.
Right. You know, like, I laugh when I hear things like this. And then, of course, how can Stephen A. come in on vacation? He was supposed to be off. They had some guy, Will Cain. I don't even know who that is. They had Will Cain and John Sally, the former basketball player, in. And Stephen A. had to come in for a couple of segments. And how can Stephen A. leave without opening a giant can of worms?
Do you know? know any black man that can be an executive in the NBA that has the license to throw seasons and keep their job for 3 years? Who is that person?
A can horrible, of worms to open right before we go example. To commercial.
I don't know. We got to go to commercial. I ain't going nowhere.
You let him know, Stephen A.
Oh, jeez.
So Stephen A's not going anywhere, apparently, because he wants to get into that thought process as well. I will say this. I agree with Stephen A. Smith.
It's time for him to go?
Yeah, it was time for Phil Jackson to go.
I don't think there's any doubt.
I mean, do we have the one on Jeff Fisher, the Stephen A on Jeff Fisher that we were doing yesterday? Like, that's my thing about Stephen A. Smith. I mean, I think we're all in agreement. Stephen A's right, right? Phil Jackson had to go.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt.
There are going to be people that think that Phil Jackson has to go that are going to hear that and still hate Stephen A. Like, oh, Stephen A. Smith again today was talking about. But you agree with what Stephen A. said? Yeah, but it's Stephen A. Smith.
They don't like the way he says it.
I don't have a problem with Stephen A. Do you have a problem with Stephen A.?
No, he doesn't bother me. I don't listen to him all that much, but he doesn't bother me because he'll. I mean, he happens to be right now. But he'll get on something that he's completely off base, knows nothing about, and sound the same way.
Oh, it's so true.
So it's kind of, it's a little bit untruthful to the audience, if you will.
I mean, there was one time I came on. I don't watch First Take. I watch Skip and Shannon, but they've been off the air the last couple of weeks or whatever, so I haven't been able to watch that. But today was one of those days where I was like, I want to hear what Stephen A. Smith has to say about Phil Jackson. And do we have the one on Jeff Fisher? This is my favorite. Of all the Stephen A's out there, this was during the Eric Dickerson saying he wasn't allowed at the games, to Jeff Fisher then saying that no one told him that he wasn't allowed on the sideline, to then Eric Dickerson coming out and saying, no, he did tell me that I was not allowed on the sidelines. This was Stephen A. Smith's reaction.
Eric Dickerson did not say he heard it from somebody
else. Hold on.
He did not say that he heard it from somebody else. He said Jeff Fisher said it directly to him. And Jeff Fisher initially tried to deny that. You can't make this up. This dude need to get the hell out of LA. Let me look at my man, Bill Plasky, one of the voices, the ultimate voices, Los Angeles Times. Bill Plasky, one of the great columnists. You know, get this man out of town. Get this man. Marcellus Wiley, you're a radio host, dog.
You're a football player.
You know what you're doing. Get this man out of town. You know, Scott McCarthy runs ESPN LA. Find a way. Get rid of him. I met these people for the Los Angeles Rams. These are good people. They got a lot of good people within that organization. Your coach, he's got to go.
I mean, and once again, do you disagree with that Stephen A. Smith take?
I don't think people disagree with everything. I think it's just the way he gets so carried away.
Do you think he prepares like that? Do you think he knew when he started that rant that he was going to, Marcellus Wiley, you a radio host? Like, do you think he knew he was going to get into that?
I don't know. But it's amazing. He brings everybody in. Plasky, he's got
Marcellus. The guy that runs a radio station?
Yeah.
I don't even know who that Scott McCarthy that runs ESPN LA is. I think, though, they're the flagship station of the Rams games. So that's probably not earning the guy who runs the station doing him any favors.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that runs their games. And here's Stephen A. He said, do something. Get him out. You know, I like I said, I don't think it does any favors. The best part is when he goes, Marcellus Wiley, you used to play. And you just hear Herm in the background go, no.
Yeah, he's backing out of it. Please don't do that.
Herm's like, oh, no, don't go there. Let's go back to your phones. Chase is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Chase?
Hey, man, I was going to talk a little time with Fred, but this NBA action always gets me going.
Whatever you want, go.
No, man, if Phil was seriously contemplating moving Porzingis, I don't know how Dolan didn't let him go as soon as those words came out of his mouth. I mean, he's the cornerstone of your franchise right there. I mean, I would get rid of Melo for a vending machine. I feel like that'd be more powerful for the team in the locker room than anything, but you got to get rid of him. I think keeping Phil around was just a disaster to start with.
I think we're all in agreement about that with Phil Jackson. I'll say this, though. The owner's clearly the problem, and I think that's been everybody's take, right? That the owner of the Knicks is clearly the overwhelming issue.
I mean, he was smitten. And this is the hard part, and this is why, and you see it all the time in sports. If you're a player, you think you can automatically coach. If you're a coach, you think you can automatically GM. You know, if you're and the truth is, even though you're in the same area, I mean, you can't, you know, the GM can't do the coach's job. The coach can't do the GM's job. And so it's, you know, to make that move, and I understand how it happens. You know, I think he's the all-time winningest coach in the NBA. So, you know, here he is. You're thinking this is the greatest basketball coach ever. I mean, he should know something about basketball. He does. He knows how to dribble and shoot and pass and do all that. But when it comes to selecting players and negotiating deals, et cetera, he's awful.
Do you think you could coach an NFL team? You think you could be a head coach?
I did coach.
But could you be a head coach?
Oh, right, you mean later on in my career?
Like, let's say after you had left the Titans and the Bengals had called and said, hey, Floyd, we got an opening for head coach. We'd like you to be head coach. I know you were the GM of the Titans, but we'd like you to be the coach.
Nah. I don't think so. I mean,
do you think you could have done it?
It's just too – it moves too fast. It changes too fast. You know, you can't
– Well, and I think that's one of Phil's biggest problems was the game is clearly past
him. Yeah, I mean, it moves so quickly, and if you're not – if you're not there every day, I mean, there's going to be 10 things new when you come back a month later. And I think that, you know, that's why I don't care if you coach, I don't care if you're GM, whatever it is, if you stay out of it for 3 or 4 years, I mean, to catch back up to speed, it takes you some time.
Can I give up one final thought on Stephen A. Smith, even though this isn't a segment about Stephen A. Smith? It kind of turned into one.
Yeah.
Just one final thought on Stephen A. It's something that really gets at me is all these PC bro bloggers that have been, you know.
What's that?
Like the guys that, you know, are very politically correct. Anytime you say anything, they write an article about it. You know, can you believe that so-and-so said, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And they were just ripping ESPN when they let go of all those people. Because they're like, well, they've kept Stephen A. Smith. He's making $4 million, and they fired all these people so they can pay Stephen A. $4 million, da, da, da. I'm like, people, Stephen A. Smith's a big deal. Like, everybody knows Stephen A. Smith. Everybody has a feeling about Stephen A. Smith. And people clearly watch Stephen A. Smith or they wouldn't keep Stephen A. Smith.
All right.
So don't blame Stephen A. Smith for being Stephen A. Smith. Blame everybody else around Stephen A. Smith, the people that watch Stephen A. Smith. If you don't watch Stephen A. Smith, don't blame Stephen A. Smith. And that's just how I feel about that.
I don't. You know what? I mean, if a company's willing to pay you $4 million to talk on the radio, that's not your fault. I mean, you take it with a big smile. Go on and do everything you can to
How
keep
are
that
you
job.
Feel?
You can't get mad because they want to pay this guy.
It's like Mike Francesa makes $5 million in New York, and he does segments sometimes with like, ugh, the Knicks, $5 million a year. True story. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we've already touched on the Vince Young story from Sports Illustrated, but I hear a lot of blame going around, and I want to know how much blame does Vince Young actually deserve? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025, The Game.